Together, gather together in Jesus' name. Grab your Bibles, if you would be so kind to turn with me, please, to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8. Everybody know that God is good?
Amen.
Amen. Mark chapter 8, we're going to be reading verse number 34. Mark 8 and 34. Bible says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Turning to the book of Luke, chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, just one book over. Luke chapter 9, we're going to read the last verse in that chapter, verse number 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Jesus, we love you today. We are so thankful that we have been able to come and to gather together. Thank you, God, for your mercy, your truth, for your continual healing power. Bless the service today. Allow the anointing to flow through the words that I speak into the hearts of the hearers today. We give you all the praise. We give you all the glory. In that matchless and mighty name, we do pray. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. God bless you. May be seated. Dearly beloved, we've gathered here today in the presence of this man and this woman, as it is they who've decided to be joined together in the holy estate of matrimony. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, until death do we part. These words or similar words like them have been repeated for as far back as I could remember, and no doubt for many years before that. And once these words are uttered and the wedding vows have been exchanged, from that day forward, it is the journey in that of the couple's life that begins. A journey of walking together, a journey of beginning to raise a family together, a journey of looking forward to what it is that they in their lives will accomplish, become, and what they will do. And then considering when as an individual, it is you or whomever who makes the decision to give and to live their lives for God. Having repented of your sins, having been baptized in Jesus' name, and having been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by your speaking in an unknown tongue, when considering that of your newfound favor, and that the Spirit of God will be what leads you in your life and all that comes along with it, with this decision, all who decide upon this path are likely again the ones who in their lives who have never embarked upon such a journey as this before. I never lived for God, and maybe I didn't want to live for God. I didn't even know who God was until that day that I finally came to the realization and the understanding that I needed him and that I wanted to live my life for him. And so I asked him to forgive me, and it was me who went down in that watery grave in Jesus' name, and it was that Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, that came within my soul and has been guiding me. This afternoon, for the next while, I want to preach to you a message whose content and consideration is one that calls upon each and every one of us to not only seriously consider, but to diligently search the confines of both our hearts and our minds in order to determine whether or not it really is you who in your life who is settled upon such an undertaking. This afternoon, I want to preach to you a message titled, Commitment is a Decision. Commitment is a decision. See, when considering the marriage vow and then when looking at the statistics in our 21st century that bear before us all the fact that one out of every two marriages are they which end up in a divorce. Meaning one out of every two marriages, for one reason or another, they become frayed. Frayed to the point where the couple who shared the vows decides in their lives that a parting of ways is the only remaining solution in that of their lives and their life circumstances. It's over. I'm going to go my way and you're going to go yours. It's done. We tried. And maybe it was we who failed. See, whether this decision results because of verbal, maybe even physical abuse, whether or not over time the couple came to discover that their lives and their life's purpose no longer includes the one whom they had vowed to until death, they did part. Whatever the reason, the fact is their marriage and their commitment to each other, frankly, is over. And they part and they go on their own separate paths. And the journey that they started together has been complete. And in comparison to that of an individual making a decision to live their lives for God and to dedicate in who and what they are unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. In the past 39 years, church, I personally have been witness to those who in their walking with God, no matter what status nor position that they may have held or not, the end result, for whatever their reason might be, they of whom I speak end up doing the same thing that those who walk away from that of their wedding vow, as it's they who turn and who walk away from that of their commitment to God, no matter how long nor who it is in the kingdom of God in this world that they themselves have become. Maybe just a saint of God, a Sunday school teacher. Maybe they were a pastor or a preacher or those whose lives were spent on the evangelistic or even the missionary field. You see, once the decision in their lives had been made to walk away, sooner or later, what you'll find is they're gone.
Right.
And having said this, is those of us who ponder the fact of why. Why the couple who seem to be so much in love, and why the individual, the one whom Jesus Christ rescued from that of a life in a world of sin? Those who now, the ultimate, will face that ultimate life consequence of one day to see them rolling and tumbling in a hot, burning hell. For they made that decision in their lives to turn their hearts as well as their backs upon a commitment that they had made however many years ago. I remember being there on that day, you know, and I was in that wedding, and I sat amongst the crowd, and as that couple exchanged their vow, and they looked so happy, and they were so promised to be faithful to one another, and yet, what happened? What caused that commitment and that vow to disperse? I was there that day that they came up out of that baptismal tank in Jesus' name. I heard them speak in tongues. The Spirit of God gave them the utterance. And I watched as they walked diligently and they had their Bible and they were earnestly content with the fact that they were going to live for God. But they made that decision to turn their backs upon that commitment. And they, too, walked away from God. See, I want you to know that a person's commitment is that which can swiftly become inconsistent, unpredictable, and it can be that which rapidly changes and concerns to a person's life when none other than that of life's difficulties arise or what come upon them or even you. See, in a marriage, you'll find that maybe it's financial problems or emotional issues can be what strike, and that without warning, and be what places a strain upon a marriage. A strain which over time can become the result when a couple wants to, or maybe they decide to dissolve their relationship or their commitment with or to one another. When speaking of a person's decision to live their life for God, difficulties such as life's trials or tests or adversity, along with a host of many other issues of life, that life or even our adversary, the devil who has the ability to throw upon us, such as a spirit of bitterness, and or an unrepentant heart, or the refusal to be willing to submit their lives to that of the wise counsel of their past, or even one's spouse, or the one's parents at times. They all have the potential for a soul to begin to consider in their lives being the ones to walk away from truly the only life and the safety and security that offers to them an end, in the end, pardon me, a promise. A promise that this world and all of its wares could never even begin to offer. Amen. And yet once the mindset of leaving, of walking away, once a person has set their mind to it, the decision of walking away from God and from that of their commitment to God, sooner or later, and one would even imagine Satan is he who readily is available to assist them, or even you, in their or in of your turning and walking away.
Right.
See, from the moment that a couple says, I do, from the day that the individual rises from that baptism tank to be the one to walk in newness of life, the most important, I want you to catch this, church, the most important and vital element to that of their success and not failure is the very relationship that they in their lives embark upon, as well as that what they or even you are willing to put into your keeping and maintaining a relationship, either with the one that you have vowed to or with a commitment and the purpose, life change, and your desire to live for God. See, relationship really means everything. It's relationship. What am I going to put into this? How hard am I going to work for this relationship? How strong am I going to be for God? What is going to turn me to the left or to the right? Am I going to keep my eyes upon that goal? And I'm going to keep, am I going to keep walking towards that straight and narrow road? What is it that I'm willing to do in my desire to live for God? In other words, meaning when considering the commitment that has been expressed or made and the decision to stay together and to be together until death do you part, along with that of the decision to turn your back upon and to forsake the world that should now be behind you.
Right.
In many ways, it can be and it can become that which in the years to come speak to that of a person or a couple's success and or that of their or even your failure. That's what's going to be. It's going to show. See, what I'm saying is making and then fostering that of a solid relationship with your significant other and even with that of the God that you have chosen to serve can be what, when the winds of trials and tests come, when they arise, what proves to be the literal state as well as to the stability of your commitment to one another and or to God. That's what's going to be. It's going to happen that way. That as we got sick and we faced sickness, and it wasn't very nice, and for some, the sickness had taken us close to death, but we stood strong, and we kept our eyes focused on God. When the tests and the trials of life come, when things aren't so rosy and all fuzzy in your marriage, when things get turn sideways in your walk with God, where is it that your relationship, a solid relationship, is going to be found? Where is it that you're going to be found standing upon? I'm going to tell you, standing upon that rock called Christ. See, I don't believe that anyone who is in the bonds of matrimony wakes up one day and says, I'm done, it's over, I'm leaving you, you're leaving me. And by the same token, I don't believe that anyone in their right mind wakes up one day and says, I'm walking away from God. I no longer want or wish to be committed to God anymore. No, that's not how it happens. Instead, it's the breaking down of a couple's and that of a soul's relationship. Your prayer life, your Bible reading, your determination to be faithful to God, standing firm and secure and sure upon that foundation whereupon God had put you upon, that chief cornerstone, Christ, not allowing life and life's issues to cause you to waver, not allowing somebody else to come into your life and take that of your affection and your attention. No, you made a decision. Your commitment was a decision to live for God or to love the one that you said, I do too.
Yes.
See, Satan's purpose is to divide.
Right.
And to cause strife and discord in either the bonds of marriage or that of a soul's walk with Christ. Mm-hmm. And yet in each of these commitments that were made, that you, it is you, pardon me, who must decide without wavering. I want you to hear this. Just what the commitment that you have made really means to you.
Right.
What does it mean to you?
Right.
Who's that one that you decided to get married to and to pledge your life to? Who is that God that you said, you know, Jesus, you took my sins away, taken them away. You filled me with your spirit. I'm committed to my purpose. I'm committed to the desire to stay committed
yes.
to you. You know, this afternoon, my desire is not to give you a marriage seminar 101. Nor do I wish to offer to anyone a reason in their lives to be the one to choose to walk away. To walk away from their serving or even their living their lives for God. But instead, it is I this day who, through the leading, I believe, the Spirit of God in and through this very message today, church, I've come with a purpose to impart to you and to hopefully be able to place solidly within that of your minds that no matter the commitment that you in your life have made either to that of another person or most importantly to the very God that you've decided to serve. My desire is to steal within your soul the fact that before considering leaving your spouse or walking out on God, it's you who needs to consider soberly with that of the commitment that you made that no matter how long ago that decision was made, that you in your heart and in your life fully understand that the commitment that is about to be broken, the seriousness of the consequences on the one side to your marriage, as well as that of the eternal consequences that you will face with that of your possible pending decision to be the one to walk away. I got to understand what I'm doing. People sometimes, they think, you know, it's all about me. It's all about how I feel and what I've done. You know, it's all about what they did to me. It's all about nothing other than my personal self. But you know what? A marriage takes two. Living for God takes you committing to God as God will continue to be committed to you. It doesn't mean, well, you know what? You made me mad, so I'm leaving. God, they offended me, so I'm walking out the door. No. I want to tell you today that it's the Apostle Paul who writes in the book of Romans, chapter 8. Would you turn there? The Apostle Paul writes in the book of Romans, chapter 8, very familiar portion of scripture, beginning at verse number 35, Romans 8 and 35. The Bible said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Mm-hmm. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. All right then, church, friends today, here we go. I want you to notice that in the onset of this message thought that the title that I ascribe to this thought is commitment is a decision and not commitment is a choice. The reason is primarily because when your commitment is settled upon a choice and not a decision, in concerns to one's choice, there rarely lies any stability or stickability in and within such a word as choice. Why? I'll tell you why. Because today I can choose to do, to commit to someone or something, and in a very short order, it's you who can choose to be the one to just get up and choose to go the other way. There's nothing there. There's no foundation. It's a choice. Mm-hmm. However, when considering a decision or the decision to do something, to commit to someone or something. If this truly was a decision, I decided to do this, then just like the Apostle Paul, when such a decision rests upon a vow or that of commitment made, I believe that in and within the heart of the one who made it, who committed, that there lies a much greater resolve to hang on, to stick it out, to not consider the option of quitting nor turning back. To turning back upon what you committed to. No, why? Because I made a decision. When I did it, my heart made the decision to stick to it. When I said I do, that's what I meant. When I said, God, I'm going to live for you with all my heart and soul, that's what I meant. I'll never forget the time 39 years ago, August the 9th, 1982, in the back room of a little church where myself and my best man stood, just waiting for to be called out to go meet my bride and then walk down that aisle. He said, are you still going to do the things we used to do before we got married, when you're married? And I said, why would I be standing here ready to give my life to a woman if I'm going to go back doing the things that we used to do before I decided to get married? No, this is a marriage, and this is what I'm going to stick to. And I'll never forget his words. He goes, well, as far as me, married or not, I'm going to do what I want to do. And I thought, I cannot believe, why bother and waste your time giving your life to another when you figure you're still going to be able to play the field? Right. You know, the song says, I have decided to follow Jesus, yes. Not I choose to follow Jesus. Right. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me and the world behind me. Though none Amen. Go with me, still I will follow. Why? Because it wasn't set upon that of a choice. It was a decision. When I understood that I had a heaven to gain and a hell to shun, when I understood that my life was full of sin and the only one that could take that sin away and forgive me was Jesus Christ, when I understood that that watery grave and baptism was the only way for those sins to be washed away and cast in that sea of forgetfulness, and that the Holy Ghost was everything for me that one day would be able to transform me in a moment and the twinkling of an eye and take me home, I decided that was a life for me. I decided that very day that that was a path I was going to walk, and that was a destination called heaven that I would seek.
Amen.
There's an old saying that says when the going gets tough, the tough get going, not by running nor by turning back. No, they hunker down and they fight it out. There's a saying that says it's fight or flight with most men. Either you're going to size it up and take a chance on getting beat up or beating them up or taking on whatever you're facing, or you're going to turn your back and run. But when that going gets tough, when things are doing bad and things maybe in the church or in your marriage are bad, fix it. Do what you got to do. In the church world, you get on your knees and you ask God to forgive you and help you to stand strong for Him and help you to see what it is that you're doing wrong. Maybe it is you who needs to open up those channels of communication with your spouse and say, this is what we're facing. This is the problem that we have in our life, and we've got to do something about it before it frays to the place where you and I leave when we really do love each other. So in the years gone by, many of our parents in their marriages never considered a divorce, as an option. This option or choice never really came into being before the try before you buy attitude came along. Along with, you know, if we're not committed, then on any given day, I can choose to get up and walk away from you. And, you know, so let's just live common law and let's just forget about that commitment. And so many couples today, they're living together. They're not in matrimony. They're just living in sin. They're fornicators. And so they choose to do this. But one day they wake up and their spouse is history. They're gone. Well, it happens that way in marriage too. It sure does, but it never used to be that way. It wasn't just, you know what? We had a fight today and I'm done. She yelled at me. He gave me a cold cup of coffee. I'm never going to love him anymore. That's not the way it was. No, I'm going to tell you something. When couples got married in the old days, they thought it out. They hunkered down. They faced their challenges. And when it comes to our living our lives for God, if you're only in for what it is that you can get, maybe what it is that you hope to get away with, you know, if I go to this church and love Jesus, you know, I can just continue to live the way I want. And what it is that, you know, and hoping what you got, listen, when the warm and the fuzzy wears off, it's people who choose to live their lives for God under this banner who, in the throes of a trial or a test, as they are the ones often seen turning and walking away. There's no commitment there. They just showed up. It was fun. They liked the songs and the preaching until they started to meddle, and they liked the people until somebody offended them, and so they just went running home. But when you make the decision to live your life for God, no matter which way the pendulum swings, it's they, those of whom I speak, are often the ones who hang in the fight, and more often not, or not, no matter what, they keep purpose upon that of their commitment that they had made to God, even in concerns, again, to your spouse, the same way. And you'll find these people living with the same spouse and still living for God just the same, because the commitment and the vow that was made, the commitment they made to live their life for God, they hung on to, and they purpose to never be the ones to get up or to walk away. Their commitment, ladies and gentlemen, was a decision. It was a decision. I've done a lot of weddings. And you say the vow. And I used to tease people and say, you know what, at the end of the wedding, I'd say, I don't do refunds. I'm not going to take any. There's no giving back. But you, when you say the vows, they say what? For better, for worse. We did at the onset of this message. For richer, for poorer. Until sickness do we part. Really? Quickly. Everybody knows there's no such thing as a perfect marriage. But the proof that comes in the pudding, so to speak, is seen when their commitment and or your vow is challenged or put to the test. For what it is that you do will be what becomes the determining factor in whether it is you who proves whether or not the decision you had made to stay faithful and or to the vow or the commitment you had made to God will be what stands. Yeah. Are you ready? Are you sitting down? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about, folks, in marriage. You know, when the figure eight becomes a figure oh, when the pressures of family life, that's on both sides, by the way, when the pressures of family life and the job, or maybe the lack of a job, when financial issues arise, when it's you who begins to believe that the grass, for whatever reason, might be greener on the other side. When living for God becomes an everyday task and purpose, when it's you who is kind of forced to get along with people. And with the many issues that can come up as it's you who lives your life for God, when it's you who decides to forego the world and that call of that life in the world that causes you maybe over time to begin to consider or to think that because you're living your life for God, well, I'm missing out. See, this, my friends and saints of God, is a true test, or when the rubber hits the road. And whether or not the commitment that you decided upon was truly in your heart, or whether or not it was you who never intended to settle yourself upon that of a vow nor a commitment you made, when the signs of trials or tests arise, instead of hunkering down and hanging on for the ride, it's the undecided, the uncommitted, you will find breaking their vow or walking and turning their back on God and walking out those church doors back to a world. Back to a world, I want you to hear this, that they have forgotten that all but left them are you destitute and heading for a devil's hell instead of your being the one to one day walk upon those streets of gold. I'm telling you today that commitment is a decision. Commitment is a decision to hang on, stick it out, and to keep on going. And it's on this October 3rd Sunday afternoon that I felt in the Lord to preach to you a message whose declaration is and rests upon none other than the fact that your, my, our commitment, ladies and gentlemen, is a decision. A decision that doesn't change with the times. It's a decision that once made causes you to be the one, unless absolutely necessary, no other option lies before you. To be the one to stand secure through thick and thin in your bid to remain faithful to your vow, faithful to the God that you promised that you would be faithful to. As it was God who took and who washed your sins away and who filled you with his spirit with that promise that one day you'd rise to meet him in the air. Mm-hmm. See, that's commitment. That's what a commitment is. And the decision is in your life. The decision is in your hands, what you're going to do. So around the corner, when it comes to your commitment, being a decision and concerns to the spiritual, and not being a choice, that the truth is, if you in your life don't learn to love God as recorded in the book of Deuteronomy 6 and 5, you, my friends, will never make heaven your home. Oh, Pastor, what's Deuteronomy 6 and 5? And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy might. You've got to love God more than you love anything. You've got to love God more than you love your natural life. I've got to say, God, I'm going to stand true. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to do this because if I don't choose to love God in that way, I'm not going to be walking in my eternal home called heaven. Brother Holland, he shared with us, and he talked a little bit about on Wednesday night, the pedigree of the Apostle Paul, a pedigree that having been and having gone through all of what Paul had gone through, it's clear, folks, for any reader to see, as Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament Bible, that Paul's decision to commit his life to God until the end was both a decision, it was a commitment that Paul would keep right up until the time of his death, as his decision throughout his life did not change. Paul said, I'm not changing. We read it today in Romans. I'm not changing. Yeah. To be cast in prison, to be beat, to be starved, to be turned upon by my friends and family, the church, all the burdens and cares of this life, to have everything thrown at me but the kitchen sink, and maybe he got that too, but they didn't have sinks back then, I don't know. Maybe it was a bucket they threw at him. Paul said, I'm living for you, God. It's a commitment and it's a decision. Amen. And so now, let's turn the page. In concerns to you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. You're listening online? Maybe not. I'm talking to you. In concerns to you, all of you, every one of us who are living our lives for God, and those who are married to maybe to a significant other. As the world around us grows darker, and as the church and we who are part of it appear to be coming under pressure more and more every day. As it is these end times and that new world order and the coming of the Antichrist, should God choose to tarry. See, it's you who in your life more than ever before must, did you get that? Yeah, I said, you must decide upon whether or not you're going to be faithful to God right to the end. Right. You got to decide that. Nobody, I heard that so many times in my life, nobody can make you live for God. No, they can't. You got to decide, not choose. You got to decide. What am I going to do when the world's on fire? What am I going to do when they shut the doors of the church and they try to take my Bible and they say I can't pray and I can't do things in public anymore? What are they going to do when they take all my freedoms? Am I going to stand true to God? Am I going to stand strong for what I believe? Or am I going to turn and walk away? Saying that you won't allow yourself to become a statistic in this world in concerns to your vow. I'm not going to be a statistic. I tell people, this 2021, I turned 61 years old, and I tell people I've been married 39 years. They think that's better than sliced bread with butter on it. Wow, good for you. Yeah. I had this guy the other day, he said, I'm on my third wife. And that's kind of rocky the way it is right now, too. Try before you buy, just don't commit. Just commit sin. Wow, you've been in church 39 years? Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, my wife, she made me. Really? It has to be your commitment. That decision is yours.
Right.
Not allowing, friends, your adversary to cause you to miss out on the greatest ending to that of your temporal life that lies ahead of you in this commitment. In other words, don't be a Demas. Don't be a Demas. What did Demas do? The Bible says Demas, having loved this present world, is departed. He turned back on that promise. I'm sure of it. I believe this with all my heart. I can't prove it. I doesn't say, and Demas got baptized today. It was 14th of November, 1970, whatever it was, year AD. And Demas got the Holy Ghost in last night's church service. I believe he did. I believe he was saved all the way. I believe he had the promise of God. But Demas loved this present world. Don't let go of your standing, your commitment to God, whether or not it's you who's in the heat of the battle, a trial, a test, or life, whatever or not. Don't let go.
Amen.
There's only one hope. I believe with all my heart that we are rounding the corner. And in concerns to this world, the soon coming of Christ, when he comes back for what? For his ready bride. Remember what did I preach a couple weeks ago? A few weeks back? Getting ready. I've got to be ready. What did Brother Holland preach about? I don't know. Were you here on Wednesday night? He talked about the most important thing in life. What is important? What do we need to decide upon? What is it in our life that matters most of all? Well, I've got to go out and get lunch today or do something, have dinner. No, what matters is it's your decision and your commitment to God. And yeah, in the natural world, if you are married, then it's your commitment to your spouse.
Yeah.
It's not here today and gone tomorrow. So I don't know about you, really, I don't. But as for me and my house, I am, and I believe we are determined to hold out to the end. There's nothing that this world offers that would cause me to consider letting go of my commitment or our commitment to God. Why? Well, and it's not just because of the promise from God that comes in the end, but because of a decision that we made to serve God and to remain faithful until the day that God takes us home. This decision will not be changed and will not waver because a commitment that together that we have made was a decision and it was not a choice. A choice that somewhere in our lives, for one reason or another, it'll change. No, it wasn't a choice. It was a decision. I'm going to live for God, thick or thin. I can tell you stories in 39 years under even certain ministries and people that I knew that did me in the wrongest way you could consider. And so, yeah, sure enough, probably you could too. But that is not what God did to me. I had people walk away and I said, what did God do to you? Oh, I don't blame God. Well, maybe you do blame God. What did God do to you? Well, I tell you, he did nothing. He said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. I'll never see his people forsaken, nor his righteous begging bread. What did God? Well, no, it was him, her, they, them. What was it in your commitment and that vow that you failed to understand, that you decided to commit to, that suddenly turned around and went south?
Mm-hmm.
As Sister Zossman comes, the scriptural text, ladies and gentlemen, that we read today are clear, and I believe, and to the point. If we or you ever hope to secure heaven as your place with God as your eternal home, then like I have said, it's you who must earnestly consider the commitment that you have made. And in your consideration in your life, you have not decided to serve God, to submit to God, to follow after God's word. If it's you who has a tendency of looking back and maybe even longing for the world, maybe you're hanging in the world right now and you're not making a decision to stop and to live your life for God. I want you to remember this. If you forget everything I've said today, I want you to remember this. Satan, my friends and saints of God, is all too willing to see that you indeed become or unfit for the kingdom of God. And that you miss out on that journey that you had begun however many years ago. And as I bring this message to a close, those of you who in your life who have been living your life for God for a number of years, as well as those who maybe in the last while have come to the place where you committed your life to God, I want you to understand that the sobering thought that each and every one of us in our lives must come to grips with is the fact that your commitment to God must be that which no one and nothing in concerns to that of your life can never or ever should be able to hold more of an importance for you than you one day hearing the words, well done. Would you stand with me today? See, as far as this world is concerned, again, when I said I do and I made that earthly vow, that was a decision, not a choice. In concerns to my living my life for God, the same holds true. And finally today, if it doesn't, did you hear that? Yeah, I said that. If it doesn't, I want you to hear me clear, the day or the time will come in my or your life when someone or something will be what comes against you. And if your commitment has not been settled upon an unchanging decision in your life, then sadly, friends, the day surely will come where you'll be the one who ends up missing out on your desire to attain that heavenly goal. So make the decision. Make it today. Determined to be the one who in your life who hangs on until the day that you leave this natural life, until the time that Jesus Christ calls you home. And if your life hangs in the balance, I urge you to consider carefully the words that you have heard in this message today. Don't think it's another Sunday message. It could be a calling from God. It could be the Spirit of God reaching out to you. Make the decision to commit to live your life for God. In the end, friend, nothing will matter. Nothing's going to matter. When you leave this life, you will stand before God. When you leave this life, you don't have to believe in hell to go there. You don't have to believe in God to stand before Him. But every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. And so, friend, would you pray today when you say, God, when I committed to you, I made that decision and I'm going to stay true. I'm going to stand strong, God. I'm not going to let anybody or anyone or anything, sickness, health, problems, troubles, trials, or other people cause me to lose that heavenly crown. Would you pray? Almighty God.